This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Ewert is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
Well, we're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Ewert and Mike Salk.
Hello! All right, and good morning. It is the Brock and Salk Show on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com, Seattle Sports app, and yes, every podcast platform out there. Oh, I got some fun podcast reviews for you guys today.
Nice.
I think you'll like one or two of them, Maura.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
So, somebody's not a fan of Ranks?
I didn't say that necessarily, just that, I thought Maura might like one, certainly the one that says Brock and Dooley.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, there's quite a few out there.
Brock and Dooley.
Brock and Dooley. That's one of the options that's been floated.
I was about to say that doesn't have a great ring.
That sounds like a cartoon.
We'd have
character
to name it something else.
What would you call Brock and Maura? That sounds better. Though it sounds sort of like Brock and Maura, like one Brock and Maura or something like that. Well, speaking of Maura, are you still leading our internal bracket? Are you number one in the bracket?
No, I don't know how that happened.
You were number one last night.
I picked Purdue to win it all, and they lost. I have no idea, but I was like second most of the day. I guess at some point, I thought Bob was number one.
He probably is. Yeah, Bob, I think filled it out at like 3 a.m. the night beforehand, and he seems to be leading the whole bracket challenge. Here's the thing: have you seen Darren Rovell's "Do Not Fill Out a Bracket" take?
No.
Have you seen that? So Rovell has this take. So I know people are very split on Darren Rovell in that most people seem to not like him for whatever reason. But Rovell's got, I will tell you, I like Rovell. I've known him a long time, and I have a lot of respect for the way he like created a career out of nothing at ESPN. Like that wasn't a thing, sports business, before he made it a thing. And so I don't know. I got a lot of respect for that. I think that's pretty cool. But he's got this idea that filling out a bracket makes the tournament worse. Because you can't just get behind whatever cool underdog story is happening because it might be screwing up your bracket.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that. So I get it. Like, I kind of see both sides of it, right? On one hand is the like, hey, I have a rooting interest in every one of these games. And so I live and die with whatever happens, even two teams that I don't know anything about, which I guess for me is all 68 teams. But you get invested because you've picked something and now you want to be right. And so that's like your one big motivation. But the other side of it is, yeah, you get to enjoy and just sit down and start enjoying whatever upset is taking place. And certainly there were plenty of them over the course of the weekend. If upsets are what you were after, this was your kind of tournament so far, right? There have been all kinds of them left and right. So cool. That's what's going on in the tournament. That's about all I got
on
that.
Go.
Brock has some tournament stuff a little bit later today. I watched so much sports this weekend, and I watched 0 minutes of basketball. So
how?
Well, I watched a tremendous amount of golf. Thankfully, did not watch the end of what went down yesterday, so we don't need to talk about that. I watched a bit of hockey. We don't need to talk too much about that. The Kraken, I've got a problem, man. I know we're going to get to that in around the weekend at 6:30. Are they in there, Maura? Or did you them out for poor play?
They are, if we get to it. It's a long around the weekend. I was a little overwhelmed yesterday going, what do we talk about in around the weekend?
I know. See, that's why I said that. I had plenty of sports to watch without even getting to the tournament. But the Kraken looked terrible. And this is now like, I know they had the win against San Jose, which was a nice win that they needed. But even in that game, they just haven't played great. And they are very frustrating to watch right now. All of the holes, all of the sort of issues that we saw that weren't quite that weren't affecting them. Like they seem to be surviving and getting past and like finding a way around all of the holes that they have in their roster. And it was like the second the trade deadline passed, they were like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to get exposed to every single one of these holes. And it's been super frustrating to watch because this team really has been resilient and great all year long. But here's the thing. As you get closer to the playoffs and teams start tightening it up, and you've seen it with Edmonton and all these good teams start to tighten up their game, a lot of those kind of goals that have found that they have found themselves scoring and these 6, 7, 8 goal games, yeah, those are going away. Right. And especially because they don't have elite goal scorers. They've got a lot of good goal scorers. That's not a shot at McCann or Eberle or anybody, but they don't have elite goal scoring. And so, yeah, Bjorkstrand will come up with a few, and McCann's always going to get his goals, Jaden Schwartz, et cetera. But they don't have elite goal scoring. They don't have a guy that just like you can't stop. And so because of that, it requires everything to kind of come their way. And
well, let me ask the other question.
It's not happening right now. And their goaltending has been just atrocious. So.
And I'm assuming they don't have enough to like real, true, solid defenders who stop the
well,
other.
Well, no, the defense has been the biggest problem they've got, honestly, which is funny considering that's really how things were built for them. So I don't know. It was a tough watch on Saturday. I did fall asleep while I was watching. But the time when I was awake was not spectacular. And then woke up and saw the score. I was like, oh. So that's just that's been frustrating. And then the best thing I watched all weekend by far, other than Shrinking, which is really, really good, was WBC. God, was it this good a few years ago? I think it was, right?
I was going to ask
there was
the same
that
question.
Epic U.S.-Dominican game, right, that was really fun to watch. It has been fantastic. I have been turning on whatever game is on and getting myself like 100% invested in it. It's been tremendous. It helps that every single game has like seven Mariners involved or ex-Mariners. So like, I feel like I instantly know a lot of the players like pretty well, and I either root for them or against them depending on how I felt or feel about them as Mariners. But I have been all in, and I got to tell you, I am rooting against the U.S. team like there's no tomorrow. Get out of here. I am not rooting for them at all. They are not a likable team, even a little.
Is it because of Trout?
I'm not rooting for Trout.
Not rooting for Trey Turner.
I'm not rooting for Trey Turner. Forget that.
He's killing it.
I'm not rooting for him.
Rushing.
I'm not rooting for them at all. They're like they're obnoxious. Paul Goldschmidt, like I'm not rooting for the U.S. team. I was all in, and I didn't even mean to. Like, it's not like I hate America or anything, but I just like I tuned it on. I mean, maybe it does. I don't know.
Seriously.
I've been waiting for, you know what? I shouldn't say this because I know like the bots that are coming for me now on Twitter or whatever. But I got to tell you, like, I was like emotionally wrecked when Venezuela blew that game the other day. Like, it was a fantastic, really, really good game, right? Venezuela takes the lead late. They get up by a couple runs. Then Trey Turner hits the grand slam to bring the U.S. back. And then,
it was over.
Venezuela couldn't score again. It's too bad. So Gino had a big at bat late and unfortunately struck out.
And he's been hitting a lot of balls to the right side, which has been fun.
Which is great. You know, he's been playing well. Yeah. But that, unfortunately, you know, big moment, he did not come through there. And, I don't know. I found myself, like, and because it means so much to the fans in all these other city or countries, rather. I don't know. I guess for that reason, I'm super, super into, like, seeing those fans rewarded for how much they love the game and how much they're into it and supporting their team. And their players are into it. Now, I will say, Trout and how much he seems to have embraced this is pretty cool. Like, have you seen his quotes where he's like, yeah, I thought it would be fun. I didn't realize it would be this fun. Mm-hmm. Like, he's super into it. And I will admit, like, seeing him crack his concrete exterior is, like, kind of a nice thing to see. They threw the stat up there. And I know it's true. We all knew this to be true. But when you hear it, it's crazy. Mike Trout last played in the playoffs in 2014. Isn't that insane? Mike Trout last played in a playoff game. This
baseball's
guy's been
best
the best player.
Player
in baseball by far, right? I mean, over the course of what is almost a decade now, he has been the best player in baseball by far. He's one of the best hitters I've ever seen. Like, when he's right, it's impossible to get him out. And, oh, by the way, he can run and play defense. Like, he is a absolute freak.
No wonder he's having so much fun. He doesn't want to go back to Anaheim.
No kidding. He's like, oh, this is what it's like when games matter and there's like good guys around and I'm not being managed by complete morons. Wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, I do love this.
He probably wants Mark DeRosa to come manage his team full time instead of Phil Nevin, right? He's looking for like the U.S. government to buy out Artie Moreno so he can play for them. Like, I don't blame the guy. It has been since 2014 that Mike Trout, by far the best player in baseball, has appeared in the postseason. Isn't that nuts? I mean, like, I knew it had been a while. And, like, if you had asked me the year, I probably could have come up with it. But when I heard, I think it was Joe Davis say it over the weekend, it just, like, that number just, like, stuck in my head. Like, man, that's nuts.
And sad.
and sad.
Not
so what
game.
Can I say? Go Venezuela or go Mexico or go Cuba. Well, maybe not that. I don't know. But just go other teams that are super, super into this, because it's been a blast watching them play in the WBC. All right. We'll give you everything you need to know. Maura will take us through everything else that we saw this weekend, because believe me, it was a lot. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Seahawks clearly wanted to remake their defense this offseason, and through a week of free agency, which is where we're at as of today, it's obvious that was the priority. Four of the five players they've signed from outside the organization playing the defensive side of the ball. The latest, Julian Love. Anybody want to take odds on how many times I call him Jordan? He is a safety, shows up here from the New York Giants. Super versatile, though. Has played strong safety, free safety, can even play a little slot corner, so interesting player, and they gave him a little bit of money. So I would think he's going to play. If Ryan Neal returns, that sure seems like a lot of investment in the safety spot. So I think it, rightly, everyone starts to speculate, does that mean the end for Jamal Adams? Could they, as Brock has asked about a few times, end up cutting him? In theory, the answer to that is yeah, they could. In practice, I don't know. It's a lot of dead money to do it. So my guess is this probably has more to do about protecting themselves in case he's not healthy once again, as opposed to actually moving on from him. But God, what a disaster that has been. We'll talk a little bit more about it at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere, players do continue to tick off that board. And yeah, the one I'm a little bummed about, because I thought he would have been a good fit here, is Adam Thielen. He goes to Carolina, wide receiver, on a 3-year deal. I think he would have been an excellent fit here. Good player, good hands, etc. And, you know, I do believe in trying to improve on the things you already do well. They got a pretty good wide receiving core. It's not particularly deep, and maybe they just believe Derek Young is going to explode this year. I hope this isn't because they're counting on D. Eskridge for anything. Do need one more wide receiver, somebody to kind of take that group over the top. And maybe Thielen's not that guy anymore, and I'm thinking about who he was 3 or 4 years ago. But that was the one guy that kind of got away from me. I was a little bummed out to see him sign elsewhere.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, very busy day for the Mariners. They lost both sides of a split squad game yesterday, losing on the road to Texas and at home to the White Sox. Plenty of positives, though, for the day. Robbie Ray threw 4 more dominant innings. My mom was there and commented on his tight pants, which is going to need me to find a new therapist, because that was not what I was looking for at all. Bryce Miller gave up a pair of runs in his 4 innings as well. As for Ray, he struck out 9 in 4 innings and gave up just 2 hits. Touch 97, threw his new splitter. Dude, I keep saying it, but if Robbie Ray is back in Cy Young form, look out. Competition at the top of this rotation. I know everyone has been talking about Castillo and Kirby, but don't leave Robbie out of this just yet. We're going to talk a little bit more about him today, because they...
Or maybe do, because I think that, like, something to prove Robbie might be
point.
Who we want.
Something to prove. Robbie keeps getting tighter and tighter pants, grunting harder and harder. My mom wondering whether or not there was a correlation between the snugness of the pants and the grunting.
Okay.
It's like, I gotta... Okay. Mom, please lose my number. Stop texting me. This is not okay. And of course, like every other day of spring training, it was another good day for Jared Kelnick. 2 hits and 3 at-bats. A triple that he just scalded off of, Jacob DeGrom. But it's cool. Kelnick can't hit good pitching, right? No, it's not really true.
Offensively, obviously, you know, Jared continues to have good springs, went about well. Our first look at DeGrom today, he's pretty good. You know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of him.
Yeah, I'd like to never see him again, I think is what I hear from Scott Service's tone. But great to see Kelnick continuing to do what he's done. And we are starting to come down now to the final stretch here. Health, so important. Scott telling reporters on Friday that Dylan Moore has another mild grade 1 oblique strain. So obviously it could be worse, but he's going to take 2 to 4 weeks off before he can even start working. That's not great.
Well, I got a few, but we're not sure. That's what spring training is about, and we'll continue. Obviously, Mason McCoy, Cabby's back in camp. Those guys will get more opportunities there to move around the field, and we'll see what happens. Not ideal.
Yeah, no, not ideal at all. It's like the one place they don't have any depth, and of course it would be the one spot where they're dealing with some injuries. WBC was amazing this weekend. U.S. coming back to beat Venezuela. Incredible theater. Trey Turner at the go-ahead Grand Slam in the 7th. He homered again yesterday as well, as the U.S. blew out Cuba.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Not a good weekend for the Kraken. Again, they once, they just looked outmatched against Edmonton. That team has been a problem for them in general. All their issues just seem to be showing up at once. Turnovers, special teams, both have continued to haunt them. Playoffs, still very likely, but they're not exactly going in on a heater. Goaltending, still a question mark as well. But some good news, Philip Grubauer did leave the game on Saturday, but turns out he was just sick. So no injury there, which is good because he, surprisingly, has been the better of the two goaltenders, although neither has been particularly great. You know who they could use is Andrei Burakovsky. Like, this team before Burakovsky got hurt and after is pretty major difference. That was a big signing they made this offseason.
Yeah, I thought that was soon.
Yeah. Well, good luck getting any real information from a hockey team about what's going on with their players. They could really, really use him back. And big time game last night as Gonzaga comes back. Drew Timmy with the huge three-pointer late.
Before they announced our signing lineup at home, I was like, in seven straight Sweet 16s, I'm like, we could not be the team that just won out. So just to get it down and not fall under that Hypnotoads Genjutsu or whatever it is feels good, man. But they're a hell of a team.
And what did Jamie Erdahl say after? That's cool. We're on Drew TV. Good for Jamie. That's funny. That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Yeah, how about that? Eight straight Sweet 16s for Gonzaga. They are 1 year. If they do it next year, that will tie the record. Isn't that crazy?
Impressive.
And I know they get a lot of grief. For like, oh, yeah, you haven't won the final. Like, geez, they've been to, what, two? I mean, I still think what they've done is incredibly impressive. Year after year, they're in the Sweet 16, which is not easy to do, and that does take some level of tournament toughness in order to get there. That's pretty darn impressive, man. Eight straight seasons. I think it's Duke and Kansas or something like that who have both done it nine times, not necessarily currently, but at some point in their history. Maybe North Carolina's in there. You know, it's like the blue blood programs of forever.
Sure. I've fallen into Gonzaga. That trap. I've fallen into that trap before. It's like, why can't they
be disappointed?
Yeah, it's like, well, I forget, this isn't a pro team, and these rosters turn over, and that's crazy impressive.
I would argue they have gotten over the hump. They just haven't won a national title.
Yeah, won the titles.
Right?
I mean. Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, I would argue they have gotten over the hump but have yet to win the national title. And I don't know, maybe they need to do that in order to, like, formalize their resume. But I think what Mark Few's done is just so incredibly impressive. And to get to a couple of tournaments, I think, is pretty darn impressive. All right. Let's see. Coming up, it was a busy weekend. We've already given you a little taste of some of the things that went on this weekend, but Maura is going to be a little bit more in-depth as we go around a very, very busy and great sports weekend together next. And there will be absolutely no mention of what happened at the end of the Valspar. I promise there will not be a mention of the Valspar. I did not have a dream about
happened,
it last night.
I'm assuming Jordan Spieth blew it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's cool. I had a dream last night that I ran into him, and he agreed to come on the show, and he gave me his number, and he was all set to come back, and even offered to maybe play Chambers with me. So
wow.
I'm just saying, I woke up in a pretty good mood.
Oh,
and then
so he woke up disappointed.
No. Yeah. Then I remembered that it was a dream, and was like, he choked yesterday. Maura will not talk about the Valspar next. It's
not.
Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, SeattleSports.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Were you able to focus on sports this weekend? It was the first nice weekend we've had in, what, 8 months? 10? A year? How long has it been since it was over 60 degrees? I can't remember it, that's for sure.
I wanted to say I read one said it was October, but I don't actually
There's
know.
There's no way. There's no way.
Saturday were so nice.
Man, was it even yesterday was nice enough until last night. Like, I got to tell you, that warm weather is necessary, especially this time of year, man. This is the time. It's not, well, I mean, March is bad, but it's really April and May that I start to lose it. Where you're like looking around the country and talking to people and they're like, oh, it's beautiful. It's spring. It's 65, a little sunny today, a little crisp. And you're like, oh, yeah? It's 48 degrees and bleeping rain. Like, great. Awesome. So, yeah. No, it was good to be out and about. Tons of people at Green Lake this weekend. We were out kind of walking around on both Friday and Saturday, and it just dogs everywhere. I could walk around Green Lake and just look at dogs forever.
That's like, perfect for you.
There's no end to the number of dogs that I'm interested in seeing as I walk around that lake.
Yeah, so. I wondered West Seattle is like, man, Alki is probably crazy
I'm
right now.
Sure
Golden Gardens was crazy.
Yeah.
pretty, though.
Yeah, I love when Seattle's like that.
Busy at Discovery Park.
Oh, what? That's another one. Yeah. Although Discovery Park will stay cool because you're like most of that pathway, you're like under shade.
Yeah. I was seeking out the sun.
Yeah. So you're still cold.
I think my dog and I walked like 4 or 5 miles each day, Friday and Saturday.
Pretty impressive. All right. Good stuff. Well, Maura, when we weren't walking and worshiping at the altar of the sun, there was a ton of sports this weekend. Why don't you take us through what we missed?
All right, we will start with some college basketball since it wasn't your favorite this weekend. We'll update you on what happened.
Too many important things.
So many.
All right, well, first, we have quite a few sad people are here at the station. First, we had Curtis with Arizona.
Yikes.
We'll get to Lefkos here in a minute, but also Taylor Jacobs, Kansas fan.
Did they lose too?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Arkansas took down the top seed in the West and defending national champions with a 72-71 victory over Kansas Saturday. The Razorbacks were down by as many as 12 in the second half, but battled back with Devontae Davis scoring 25 points and Ricky Council putting up 21. Arkansas fouled Jalen Wilson with 3 seconds left to prevent a potential game-tying three-pointer. But with Arkansas up 72-69, Wilson made his first free throw and seemingly tried to miss the second, but it banked off the glass.
Oh, that's brutal. It's not what you're looking for. I'll tell you what.
Listen, he tried to miss it off the bank. Arkansas gets it in. They get it to Black. The clock ticks. And that's it. And the Razorbacks survive and advance to the Sweet 16. Arkansas wins it. And they knock off the defending national champions.
There is almost nothing I could do especially well in an NCAA basketball game.
But miss a free throw, is it?
But if I were called upon to miss a free throw.
No problem.
I think I could do that. Right?
He was trying to get that bounce off the backboard and it just went straight in.
I think I could miss a free throw. I could clang a free throw if you needed me to. I couldn't do anything else. Right, I'm not telling you I could dribble the length of the court without a problem. I would get my shot blocked immediately if I were to try to shoot or anything. I couldn't guard anybody. And it's not even like I could bunt a major. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is different.
I could miss a free throw, man. I could absolutely miss a free throw.
But you do have to miss it in a way that you can try to get the rebound.
Whoa, don't start, moving the goalposts, Maura.
All we need to do is miss this.
Don't you move the goalposts on me. I didn't say I could miss it in a specific way. I said I could miss a free throw, something this guy obviously couldn't do. So
there you go.
That's all you need to know.
Well, it's Arkansas's third consecutive trip to the Sweet 16 and their second straight season knocking off a number one seed. Last year, it was actually Gonzaga. Their head coach, Eric Musselman. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah, of course. He's been around forever.
Jumped on the scorer's table, removed his shirt, swung it around like a helicopter, Petey Pablo style post-game, and led the crowd in a pig suey chant.
It's something, that's for sure.
It's a big win, but I was talking to my dad last night, and he's like, how do you, like, convince your team that you prepare for every game the same when you treat that like you just won it all?
Who am I, Petey Pop? Yeah, no, I don't know. He's a unique one. He was in the NFL, or the NBA, rather, for a little while. I want to say with the Warriors or the Bulls or something like that. He's been around forever, and he's done a great job. Resurrecting an Arkansas program that in the 90s was a really big deal, right? I mean, won a championship, Scotty Thurman and that moon ball and Corliss Williams. I mean, like, they were a factory every year turning out big-time players and going to Final Fours, et cetera. So, look, they love their sports at Arkansas. I mean, obviously, it's been more of a football SEC type of thing, but it is a very, very dedicated fan base, so I generally like to see that stuff. It's not like Duke, North Carolina, where they've gotten it every year. They've been through some lean years and they're back again. I always think that stuff's great.
But you're right. How does he outdo himself?
He doesn't. Just that's part of the game. Just who he is, right? You just like you don't play that game if it's all the same. You just kind of rely on the energy that your coach has.
So funny. funny just that his last name's Musselman.
Oh, yeah.
Stripping off his shirt.
How do you not see that coming?
Good.
All right. Next up, we'll get to... So that was Taylor Jacobs' heartbreak. Now we have Lefko's.
Yeah, for people who don't know the names that Maura is, so we have some three people here at the station that really care about college basketball. Taylor, who you may have heard on the air before, and Taylor is, he does a lot of our social media stuff for the station, dedicated Kansas fan. Mm-hmm. Bizarre, but whatever. He's whole family, big time Jayhawks fans.
Right, they did get the Super Bowl, they're Chiefs fans, so.
Yeah, we were beefing because of this Chiefs fandom, too.
Yeah, he's annoying. He's got a bunch of annoying. He's also a Maple Leafs fan and whatever. Anyway, Taylor's got a lot of weird allegiances, but he is one who's super into this. And then Curtis Rogers, who is Bump and Stacey's producer and often on the air here, so you probably know Curtis, went to Arizona, humongous, humongous Arizona fan. And then Mike Lefko, who fills in here often on this show and is Wyman and Bob's producer, is a huge Purdue. Lefko's got like the most bizarre allegiances. He didn't go to Purdue, right?
No, Syracuse.
He's a Syracuse fan too.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think
huge
it's about
Purdue
where
fan.
From the Midwest.
Yeah.
But then why is he a Tampa Bay Lightning fan? Like
he lived in Indianapolis and Tampa.
He's very confused. Very confused kid. Anyway, Lefko, huge. First of all, just huge college basketball fan. Him and Curtis could talk about that stuff forever. Like, even before the tournament, they know what's going on in college hoops. And now both of them are devastated.
Oh, he had two TVs and two computer screens going in the sports pit the other day. And he's pacing everywhere.
Yeah. He's a lot of nervous energy.
So,
for that, for sure. Yes.
I can only imagine what this weekend was like. But now he's at spring training, hopefully recovering. But anyways, Farley Dickinson ended up taking down his
that stinks. Farley Dickinson's not even a basketball school. It's just like an academic institution. That's not so. Yeah. I would have guessed they were a D3 school. If you had asked me, I would have said Farley Dickinson's a D3 school.
Well, their head coach, Tobin Anderson, this video kind of went viral last Wednesday. He said he didn't know that they were recording, but he called it way before they ever even played Purdue.
I want Purdue to see this, right? I walked in breakfast this morning, Cam. What did you say to me, Cam? Merle's, where's the camera? He said, the more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat them. Let's go shock the world. Let's go do this. Enjoy this one. Enjoy this one. Be humble, right? Be humble. Enjoy this one. We go back. We're headed to Columbus. Great.
What did I see? They weren't even supposed to be there, right? Wasn't that Farley Dickinson that wasn't? They didn't even win their conference.
Yeah, they got in a little bit of a technicality.
The other team that won the conference hasn't been in like Division I long enough to go to the tournament, and so they I guess you guys can go. They're like Maverick and Goose, right? Like Cougar lost it, turned in his wings. Now you guys are number one. Like okay, and then they go and win the whole thing. Yeah. You want to know who the best is?
Yeah. They defeated the Boilermakers 63-58 and became just the second 16 seed to ever beat a number one seed in the men's NCAA tournament, much to Lefko's dismay.
Oof, yeah,
Purdue tough. Looked sloppy and tired down the stretch, accumulating 16 turnovers in the game. Dimitri Roberts, the shortest player on FDU at 5'8", closed it out with the win with two free throws and a big block. Purdue was at 10-1.
Big block?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Purdue is at 10-1 odds to win the entire tournament.
Look, if you're 5'8",
I have been winning the entire tournament.
Yeah, that's tough, Maura. That's not what you're looking for. If you're 5'8", you better hit free throws.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a rule in basketball. If you're 5'8", you better be able to sink your free throws.
Sure.
So, Justin, do you still have up the standings of how everyone here is doing?
I can. Really quickly, yes.
I'm just curious. So, I think we went through this earlier. Maura's number 6. I'm 8. You're 10.
Yep.
How are Lefko and Curtis doing?
Lefko's 12. Curtis is still in first.
Oh, okay. Lefko's 12?
I think Lefko's 12.
He's got 9 million televisions going at once. He's 12. He's behind me?
Can't predict it.
Dude, that's not what you're looking for.
Well, at least, I mean, for his Purdue fandom, had one of the biggest sports stories over the weekend. If you guys probably saw the viral clip of the mother destroying her glasses.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Matt Ramos.
Wrestling?
Yeah, he's a wrestler for Purdue. He beat one of the greatest collegiate wrestlers the world has ever seen, Spencer Lee.
Yeah. Well, maybe, Lefko's doing better in his wrestling bracket than he is in his NCAA tournament bracket. I don't know.
See that kid was going for like a fourth or fifth straight win, straight though. Like, the mom needs to chill out. You're not going to win every single time.
Okay. Mom's a fighter, too. She is. There's some videos of her.
She probably dropped 12 pounds the night before and then gained it all back.
This is the
she's spitting into a cup, the 125 wearing a trash bag.
Class too, man. It was a 125. Really, really crazy scene. Just
what kind of Spencer a person Lee's weighs 100. What? What? 125 pounds?
Yeah,
that's barely even a human.
Well, I weigh 125.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not a dude, but I mean,
dude, a dude that weighs 125 pounds. You know how small that is?
How very tall. Are they?
Yeah, it's not very tall. I don't know.
I don't care if you're 5'4". Like that's 125. Dude, that is very small.
He is 5'3", 125.
Oh, I mean, that's not...
That helps. All right,
I'm
fine. All right, that helps. That helps.
Man. Didn't expect it, though. But that I feel bad for her. I mean, like, well, just
I don't
horrible
feel bad for
moment
her.
For her to...
I hope she's got a girl.
You need to teach her son you don't win every single time. Calm down.
I hope she's got a good health savings account so she can go buy herself some new glasses.
I feel like that was way overly dramatic.
It was.
All right, well, congrats to Fairleigh Dickinson. We will move on to Gonzaga. Finally, some good news for local fans here.
Some.
This one, yeah, I would think there's a lot of Gonzaga fans. I guess we don't have any in the building except for Brent.
Brent. I'm a Gonzaga fan.
Our website, okay. Oh, yeah, well, you're a Mark Few fan.
I'm a Gonzaga fan since way back.
All right.
Yeah.
Gonzaga defeated TCU, as we mentioned.
Darn right they did.
81-84 to advance to their 8th straight six. Sweet 16. They were trailing at the half after going 2-for-14 from the three-point line, but got it together going 6-for-11 in the second half. Drew Timmy had 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. TCU's Damian Ba hit a three-pointer at the buzzer, much to the delight of those that had TCU to cover.
Gonzaga! Back into the territory! The Zags make it 8 straight! Sweet 16!
Apparently right. The line was 4.5.
Go Zags.
So there's a lot of people that either bet on Gonzaga that were frustrated by that or that bet TCU to cover that were happy about
Go
that.
Zags. Go Zags.
As you've always said.
As I've always said. As I've said throughout this year. This is our year.
You do know a lot of old school Gonzaga players, as you showed off when we talked to Mark Few.
Dude,
but I don't think
I've
you watch.
I went to a ton of Gonzaga games. When they would come down to L.A., I've seen them at LMU. I've seen them at Pepperdine.
Cool.
Yeah, no, not cool, but I did do that. Heather and I would like drive up to Pepperdine from L.A. and watch them play. Night basketball is a blast.
Wow, it's too bad you had to drive up the 101 to the Malibu.
Oh, it was
to
awful.
Go to a basketball
yeah, it was
game.
Just terrible. Yeah, but it's like, you know, I don't know, 45 minutes away or whatever. Like, we drive up there and go see them. It was great. Pepperdine campus, absurd.
It's insane.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
If you've never seen the Pepperdine campus, it is absurd. I mean, that huge lawn on the hill that they've got there is like, it's just out of control. Do you know how
not
much
fair.
Do you think that real estate is worth, that lawn alone, which is being used for nothing? Crazy.
How much do you think tuition costs?
I guess Pepperdine is a private school. It's got, I think, some religious roots in it. I would guess tuition is 70 grand a year, 70 to 75 grand a year.
59,702.
Okay. Yep,
that was her 2021 year.
All right, so I overestimated a little bit, but still. Yeah, the religious part of it probably brings it down a little bit because I think it's a Jesuit school. So that probably drops
with
it down.
The Churches of Christ, yeah.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, gorgeous right. campus. Gorgeous campus.
As you said, we will move on.
That probably doesn't include room and board, though, Justin. That gets you up. That probably gets you up there another
oh,
yeah. 5 or 10.
Books, all that good stuff.
Books are another 5 grand.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the Kraken. As we already kind of touched on, they lost to their division rival Edmonton Oilers 6-4 Saturday and fell to 3 points behind them in the Pacific Division. So they're sitting in fourth place. Bjorkstrand, Eberle, Schwartz, and Tolvanen all scored Saturday, but it wasn't enough. Grubauer left midway through the second with the Oilers leading 3-2. There was concern that it was an injury, but thank goodness it sounds like it was just some sort of illness that kind of overcame him throughout the game. Martin Jones took over, and the Oilers added 3 more goals. The Kraken's 83 points are good enough to have them in the first wild card spot currently, but they need to pick it up. They've lost 4 of their last 5 and have yet to face the Dallas Stars, who just swept them at home in that weird scheduling, Kirk. Yeah, they have to play them yet again on Tuesday.
Yeah, they've really been playing bad hockey here for the course of the last week or so. These haven't been games where they've outplayed the other team but lost. They've been outplayed. And I think that's what's been most frustrating. And the goaltending has not been good. I don't know what you do if you're Dave Hakstol. I even was thinking about it over the weekend. Like, what's going on with Chris Drieger, right? So if you remember, he was hurt throughout the year, but he went down to start working on his rehab for Coachella Valley like a few weeks ago now. Is he ready? And I don't know when he's like ready to return, and I don't know whether he'd have enough time to catch fire. But as you know, like when you get to the playoffs, you don't have to have the goalie who's been the best all year. You got to have the hottest guy. And if he were to come in and replace one of their two dudes and just go on a heater, that might be all you need. He's perfectly capable of it. He's been a great goaltender in his career at times. Maybe he shows up and is fresh and comes off the injury and steps in there in the last week or two of the season. But you need some time to see it in order to like give him a shot at it. So I don't know. You may be running out of time for that, but it was just a thought that kind of popped into my head over the weekend.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's so frustrating sometimes how little information you get as to where people are.
I know. We're so...
They have still put him in a lot of their promotional stuff. I've seen him in some of the fun videos they were doing around the All-Star game time period.
Mm-hmm. Because he's got some personality, so they kind of, you know, do some of that. But yeah, it's a bummer because I've been very frustrated with their goaltending. Let's just say that.
They're coming up on 2 months now of Burakovsky being out?
Yeah, at least. He's been out since basically the All-Star break, right? Yeah, no good. Could use him back.
Thank you for bearing with me not being able to pronounce words in that one. I appreciate it. Struggled a little bit.
It's just a radio show. No big deal.
All right, we'll move into some WBC. Team USA scored 5 runs in the first inning against Venezuela Saturday, but then Rockies pitcher Daniel Bard entered the game in the 5th inning, and he's been having a bit of a struggle. The U.S. was leading 5-3. His struggles got worse on Saturday as he threw multiple wild pitches and hit Jose Altuve with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball that fractured his thumb.
The 1-2. Altuve hits the dirt. After he was hit by the pitch, Venezuela has loaded the bases.
Not what you want to see. Just not knowing where the ball's going right now for Daniel Bard. And then...
Altuve, according to Jeff Passan, is expected to miss at least 2 months.
No, that's too bad.
Some people are kind of blaming your guys' guy, Mark DeRosa.
Why?
Because I think he's a first-time manager right now.
Oh, that he should have had him in there?
Should have left him in.
Bunch of tickets.
It's also tough right now when you're a manager of that team where you're at in the tournament and how many pitches I got left.
Right. Daniel Bard is a great story. It's too bad that he kind of unraveled the other day. And, you know, if you go back and you remember him, he was drafted out of North Carolina. He was a big, big, like, top, you know, first-round draft pick. Came to the Red Sox and was called up within like a year of being drafted, and it has just never worked out for him as a starter, as a reliever. He's had these up and down moments, but it's too bad. He's a really talented kid, and unfortunately just hasn't been able to turn it into a great big league career.
I just remember him being a guy that threw really hard.
Yeah, he was throwing 99 before everybody was throwing 99. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Too bad. But, you know, they're gonna be without Altuve. That's a shame.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I was surprised there wasn't no social.
It's too bad.
Hate to see it going there.
No, there was. I retweeted something, and you should see some of the responses.
Oh, boy.
I didn't.
Yeah. There's. That's cool.
Well, get well soon. We'll move on to the top of the 8th with Venezuela leading 7-5. Trey Turner up to bat.
Oh.
Did this.
The 0-2 to Turner. And he throws this one. Deep left field. Trey Turner. Slam home run on an 0-2 pitch. The United States takes a 9-7 lead.
That was all she wrote, unfortunately. I know, I'm sorry, I was rooting against the U.S. Not against them, I just found it wasn't that I was rooting against the U.S. I was rooting for Venezuela in the game. I've just found, like, the U.S. team is kind of not that likable.
What?
I mean, here's the thing. When you tune into the Olympics, right, you generally have no idea who the players are in anything. So you just start rooting for the U.S. because that's where you're from. And so you have an automatic rooting interest in watching them win. But when you tune into the WBC, it's not like I'm learning who Mike Trout is for the first time. I've already spent more than a decade hating him.
Right.
So it's hard to just turn on a dime and be like, oh, now I'm a Trout fan for today because he happens to be wearing the U.S. uniform, whereas, hey, Eugenio's over there and I freaking love him.
Good point.
So I'm sorry. It's not that I hate America or anything like that, but I have found it very challenging to root for the U.S. They are the favorite by far. It feels like they're the superpower. And generally, that's not something that you root for. Also, they don't seem to care nearly as much as the people in all the other countries. Did you see the numbers? Did we talk about this on Friday?
I think we might have.
In Puerto Rico, 60-something percent of the TVs were tuned to their WBC game the other night.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking
in America, sharing. That number's like 4, maybe. So, yeah, I don't feel bad at all about rooting for these underdog islands, et cetera, or small countries where baseball is enormous and important and growing. Look, this is my favorite sport. And without the excitement that it generates in those countries, baseball doesn't continue to survive the way it has. So, most amazing thing.
I think everybody can agree this is the most fun I've had watching, or at least I have. The most fun we've had watching WBC.
It's been really, really fun. And it's amazing because, you know, there's no pitch clock. And yet, the games have been entertaining. So I don't know what to make of that.
Well, have baseball stops being such like sticks in the mud and have these guys have a little more fun in game. And then maybe people won't care.
This also like, feels like
there's much more passion and fun going on in a lot of these games than you see.
Good point.
This is
good
also.
I mean, it's also
point.
162 game season.
I was going to say this feels like a World Series playoff round versus a regular season game. You're still not going to.
Anyways, Trey Turner told John Morosi that was the loudest game he's ever played in.
I saw one of those pitchers take 24 seconds, and I almost turned the game off. I was so angry it had taken so long. I just turned it off. Like, Mike, it's a tie game late. Yeah, I don't care. That guy took too long. See ya.
Well, then it turns out that last night's game was much less competitive. U.S. faced Cuba, and they
boring.
Won 14-2.
Poor Rowenis. Yeah. Rowenis Elias starting that game. Old friend Rowenis not able to get anything going. All right, Maura, great job. That is a good trip around the weekend. We could probably go for another hour. There was so much stuff going on this weekend.
No Valspar mentions at all. I can't believe it.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Valspar. It didn't happen. No need to even go there at all. Up next, though, the one thing that we did not get to at all was all of the free agency and all the moves that the Seahawks have made. They continue to sign guys, proving that they understand the problem. Have they actually fixed it? We'll chat and discuss with Brock next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.